But my prayer is that we're strong enough for it. And that we can talk about it. That we can consider it. That we can consider our heart. We can consider what God wants to address here. And I've heard people say, "Brother, all you talk about is modesty." And so I look back here in my notes, and I have record here of 42 messages that I preached last year. How many of them do we think were on modesty? 10 out of 42? Is that too much? One message. One message on modesty. One message out of 42. So I would appreciate some more encouragement to speak more about the topic. Will you hold me accountable, brothers and sisters? But I wonder if the reason why I've only preached one message is because I don't like to preach about it. Because I wish we would just get it. Does that make sense? I wish we'd just get it. As 21st century Christians, in a world of ungodliness and nakedness, I wish that we would get it. I wish we would catch what God is trying to do with us. And we can move on. That's my desire. In our Bibles, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman within the transgressing, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety." If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So we have that there in this epistle. And it says that women. So the Apostle Paul here is addressing the women. But why not the men? Have we wondered that? And I wonder if it's not because the men were men. The men were men. And today we struggle with that a little bit. And the men want to be more feminine. And so now we need to tell the men to do the same thing. So I just like to say that although this was addressed to the women, I wonder if it wouldn't be addressed to the men and women for us today. I want to remind us that, one, this topic doesn't seem to be a real spiritual topic. After I can preach a message like this, some of you will probably tell your spouses, "That sounded like an Amish message." Or, "Is Barry going to the Amish?" Or whatever you want to call it. But I would challenge us with that thinking. I would challenge us with that thinking. Remember the Amish bishop I talked about last night? How he said that every Amishman that leaves goes to the world. Remember that. This is a big deal. But I want to make it clear here tonight at the beginning of this message that I am not talking to you if you want the world. If you're here tonight and in your heart you desire the things of the world, I'm not talking to you. This is not a message for you. But if you're here tonight and you're confused, you're unlearned, you're deceived, this message is for you. If you don't quite understand what modesty is because of the way you were raised or whatever the reason, this is why we're having this message tonight. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to get some carnal people to start doing something different. Do we understand that? What I'm trying to get is some godly people to understand that maybe some influences that you've been around are affecting you more than you think. I would like to be practical tonight like I've never been before. And I tremble a little bit. And I may need some help. So, at the end of the message, I would like to have an open time for you to fill in any areas that I missed. Or, if you do not agree with something I said, or if you have a question about something on this topic. Can we do that? Another thing I want to say is if I address something that you currently are doing right here as we sit, are you going to be able to handle that? This is not a personal thing. I am not thinking of things to say as I look at you. Although I'm not saying that would all be bad. The things that I'm going to say, I planned to say before you were here. And I tremble a little bit there. So can you bear with me? And let's work through this together. Me and my wife were in what we called the world before we were Christians. Now I understand we were all in the world, but what I mean is in secular society. My wife was the homecoming queen. We knew style, we knew fads, and we knew fashion. My wife worked at Abercrombie & Fitch. She was the manager of that store. So she actually helped other people fit the styles and the fads of the day. We were very up to date in the way we presented ourselves in the world that we lived in. I don't know that anyone else in here can say the same thing. The reason I say that is, does that give me an edge on this topic? Is a question that I ask. Does that give me a little bit of insight that maybe you don't have? Does that give me the ability to see something in you that you don't realize that I see? And the spirit with which it comes from. Do we understand that? This message is for one reason, to help us. That's the only purpose for the
cast stones, but I desire to have a church that is completely void of itself as far as the flesh. Completely void of carnal desires and worldly aspirations, not interested in what the world has to offer. That the world can clearly look at us and say, these people are not interested in what we have to offer. That the devil can say they are untouchable when it comes to what I have to offer them. They have something, it's very clear, that they hold way more dear than the praise of men or the approval of the carnal world that's all around us. That is my desire. Also, this message, like I said, is for both the brothers and sisters. The first question I have is, do we want to draw attention to ourselves? Remember, if you're here tonight and you desire the world, you will mock this message and you will justify where you are at. If you think some of the things I say are kind of funny, I'll leave that. Do we want to draw attention to ourselves? Think about that question. Do we want to be lifted up in pride? Is it all about the heart? There's three questions. Do we want to draw attention to ourselves? Do we want people to see me? Do we want to be lifted up in pride? How many of us can recognize pride in our heart? I question sometimes whether we can recognize it. If you get dressed and you look in the mirror and the last thought that you have before leaving the mirror is, I look good. Will that be something that has potential to lift you up in pride? Think about it. Do we want to be lifted up in pride? Do we want to avoid being lifted up in pride? The first time I really thought about that question, I was at some meetings. We came home from Haiti, and we were due to have a baby, if I remember right, yes. Our son Andrew was due, and we had some meetings to come back to the States for at the same time. And I was at these meetings, and it was probably about 11 o'clock at night, and I get the call from my wife that she has begun labor. So I was about an hour and a half maybe away from home, and I go out to the van, back up a little bit. Coming back from Haiti, we didn't have a vehicle, so I asked my mother if there was a vehicle that somebody could provide for us to use for the week that we were going to be home, or whatever that was, the week for that meetings. And she said, yep, there'll be a vehicle here. So I was late, got there, grabbed the vehicle that was provided. It was my sister's minivan. It was a Honda Odyssey, fairly new Honda Odyssey. And I never once thought a word about it. I drove to the meetings. All this happened. I go out to the Honda Odyssey, and I seen approaching it that the headlights were still on. And of course, when I went to start it, the battery was dead. So I thought, oh boy. I go inside. There's hardly anybody left there, but there's one brother there, and I asked him, I said, brother, do you happen to have jumper cables? He said, yes, I do. I said, I'm parked over here. My wife's in labor. Can you drive your vehicle with your cables over to my van? And he said, absolutely. So he drives his old beater. And he pulls up to the minivan, and he gets out, and he says, brother, is this your van? And I said, no, it's my sister's. He said, okay. He said, if I would drive a van like that, I would be lifted up in pride. That was his comment. I remember not understanding it. But do we understand that now? How many of us understand that? This nice new vehicle, if I was in it, I would be lifted up in pride. So because of that, he would not put himself in it. Do you understand that? We can call that wisdom, we can call it weakness, we can call it whatever we want. But it's recognizing the possibility of being lifted up in pride and avoiding it. Do we think that way? Or do we just accept that pride? Do we accept that feeling? Do we enjoy it? Do we like it? Remember, we live in a country where being proud is a very positive thing. We are proud of our country. We're proud of our football team. We're proud of our high school graduate. We're proud of our universities. We're proud of our children. We're proud of everything. We're proud that we're proud. But pride will not enter heaven, the Bible says. Do we recognize pride? And do we avoid it? Or are we that strong that we can do whatever we want and stay humble? Do we want to be lifted up in pride? Is the question. It's a profound question. Do we desire to be lifted up in pride? I think that there are people in this room that desire to be lifted up in pride. And it shows the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the way that we handle ourselves. We want people to see us, to notice us. However, I could be wrong. And we're ignorantly doing things that we ought not. Is it all about the heart? What's the answer? Huh? I didn't hear that. Yes. But that's what the Protestants say. That's what the liberals say. It's the heart that matters. Don't judge me. But is it true that if our heart is pure, everything else will be pure? Is that true? And that is why this message is for the pure of heart. Because if your heart is not pure, you will reject the message. You will justify whatever it is that you're doing that God is saying you shouldn't do. A good tree does not produce evil fruit. It's all about the heart. That can be encouraging or very discouraging. The reality is this. People that want to look like something, they want to look like that something because they like that. For instance, when the Beatles came out in the 60s, what do you think you started seeing everywhere? Long hair. Long-haired hippies everywhere you went. People loved the Beatles, and the men wanted to look like the Beatles. If you want to look like the world, it's because you love the world. If you want to look like the world, it's because you love the world. Brothers, do you have a cool spirit? Sisters, do you have a pretty spirit? It's pride. I would like to move into the practical part of this message. And again, I think I need help. So I would appreciate some help when we're done. Maybe we'll shorten the message so we can address things that I'm not seeing. I'm not very, I don't pay as much attention as maybe I should. Can we start with the sisters? Is that okay? Sisters, is it okay? I'm not Amish, and I've never been Amish. Are we all on board? When I went to Northumberland, they asked me to preach a message on modesty. If I remember this right, one of the brothers that's here, he said, well, we can't title it modesty because then people won't come. So what can we title it? And we came up with some real good name. I can't remember what it was. Real good title. And the bishop said, no, we're going to title it modesty. And if people don't want to come, they don't have to come. But here we are tonight. Let's start from the top and work down. Are we ready? I like smiles when we're talking about this. The head covering. Do we know why we cover our heads, sisters? Do we cover our heads because that's what we've always done? Do you appreciate your head covering? Are you ashamed of your head covering? Do you wish it was something that you could take off and put back on? And because of that, you've decided to make it so that you cannot see your head covering if someone's looking straight at you. Which, try to understand the folly of this, please. When I look in the mirror, I cannot see my head covering. And that makes me feel good. It's almost as if I don't have it on. But there, tucked in the back, it sits. What does that say about the head covering? I realize I'm talking to people that have a standard, and there's one head covering here. But what happens if you change your head covering? What happens if you have the liberty, which I would imagine you do, and you can wear whatever head covering you want? Let me ask you this. In the Anabaptist world where you don't have a certain head covering that you must wear, is the problem the head coverings are getting bigger or smaller? Are the head coverings going forward or backwards? Now I realize there's a little bit of both maybe. I would encourage us to embrace the head covering as something that's been ordained of God for you sisters. Accept it, cherish it, and receive the blessing from wearing it. Receive the blessing of the calling that God has on your wife to be under submission, to be subject to your own husbands. Michael Pearl says, I don't believe in the head covering. When asked why, he says, the Amish. It's a form of submission, but the Amish ladies are far from submissive. That's a statement that he made. Do we want to use our head covering as a fashion statement? Maybe we want to wear a very large head covering and tie it and wrap it and hang it and do whatever you want to do with it. Maybe we want to wear a head covering that is a different color than everybody else has on. The first question was, do we want to draw attention to self? As we move down, let's talk about the dress. Are we still good? Is everybody good? I'm going to check our temperature every once in a while. Okay? Can we do that? Something came out in the late 1980s. In the late 1980s, something came out in America. How many years ago was late 1980s? 40 years. Does anyone know what it was that came out? It hadn't really been seen before, and it came out with a storm and has been here ever since in the late 1980s. Does anyone know? Ladies wearing pants, that was part of it. Miniskirt, that was also part of it. There was two words that started to become accompanied with the ladies' attire, and those two words are form-fitting. Form-fitting. How many of you have heard the term form-fitting? Do we realize that very few people had heard of that term before the 1980s, 40 years ago? That's a little bit hard for me to believe. But that means that we are traveling at lightning speed in the wrong direction, is what it tells me. So what is form-fitting? Does anyone want to raise their hand and say that I have a dress on right now that is form-fitting? Anybody desire to do that? Nobody? So are you not raising your hand because you don't want me to say come to the front? Or does everyone believe that they are not guilty of a form-fitting dress? Any comment? What does a form-fitting dress do? Anybody have an idea? Draw attention. Reveals the form. Reveals the form. What's wrong with that? Do we know what the form is? I'm not sure how to go about this. Do we know what the form is? What's that? It's the body. Our body. So there is an attraction for a man to look at the form of a woman. Right? And there is an attraction for maybe a woman to look at the form of a man. Okay, do we understand that? So we're called to cover our bodies so that we do not draw the attention of the opposite sex. Do we understand that? When people are looking at dirty pictures, they're not looking at well-covered people. They're looking at the form of a person.
And so a form-fitting dress is a dress that shows the form of some of your body. So how would we not show the form? Any ideas? Loose fitting. Multi-layer. So if the material is touching the form, then that is form fitted. Are we all on board here? I don't want to go to all this work and then people say I didn't understand you. Okay. Sorry. If the material is touching the form, then it is form fitting, and we are doing what came out 40 years ago and now has turned into, believe it or not, people walking around in several states where it's legal with no clothing on at all, but their clothing is painted on. In several states in America, it is legal to walk around without a stitch of clothing on and only have clothing painted on you. And here's the thing, they say it's legal because most of the time you cannot even tell that they don't have clothing on. 40 years. And our clothing is so form-fitting that people can actually paint it on and fool people into thinking that they have the clothing on. So how do we avoid form-fitting? Loose clothing. Multiple layers. These are things that people have tried to do for years and years, successfully doing it. Right? The body, but it covers the form. Sisters, your dresses are desired, are supposed to cover not only the body, but also the form of the body. I think that we are erring in this very, very badly. Do we know that there are certain fabrics that are designed to hug the body? Is anybody aware of that? There are certain fabrics that are designed to hug the body. Does anyone want to say what these fabrics are called? Does anybody know? In the back. Knit. Spandex. Is knit and spandex the same thing? Okay. Is there another word for knit? Stretch. Clingy. Okay, is everybody okay? We're all good? So do we understand what stretchy, clingy material does? Okay, I like that spandex word. I remember I had a girlfriend in 2011, and she wore a pair of spandex with a dress over the top, and the dress stopped right above the knee. And I remember it was out of the world. It was. Are you going to leave looking like that? And then it switched to the dress is thigh high, spandex. And now, obviously, we all know that people are wearing spandex without anything else on. Literally, 15 years ago, it would have been unheard of in the world. But it's something that clings to the body. It stretches around the body. And that is the same desire for knit fabrics. It clings and it hugs. It does the exact opposite of... We understand that. Disagree, we talk about it later. But I'm not an expert in all this. What is Swiss dot? Someone help me out. Nobody knows? Swiss dot. Anybody know? Do we know? Nobody knows. Here. It's knit. Okay, sorry. I wasn't sure exactly what it was. It's knit, she says. Is it a brand of knit? It's a certain brand? Okay, maybe I'm going out of bounds here. So, it's a type of fabric that is designed to hug the body. So if we're not trying to wear something that's form-fitting, do we want to wear knit fabrics? What do you think? What do we think? If we are trying to avoid showing the form of our body, forget about what we're doing, forget about anything else, let's just think about the reasonable things we're talking about. Knit fabrics are designed to hug the body. We're trying to conceal the form. So should Christians wear knit fabric? No? Makes sense to me, right? Should Christians wear spandex? Should Christians wear yoga clothes? Okay? Because we're not trying to show our bodies. Do you understand? Now remember, we're just covering some ground here. We're not pointing fingers. Let's talk a little bit about the cape dress. Now I'm not sure. Do the Amish wear cape dresses? Anybody? Okay. So the cape dress has become an immodest dress. It has become an immodest dress. But why has it become an immodest dress? I'm not talking about cape dresses, but people are dressing immodestly while wearing cape dresses. Do we understand that? Are we on the same page here? But why is that? Is the cape dress designed faulty? Or is it the way that we are making our cape dresses? And if you don't wear a cape dress, it can be whatever dress you're wearing. Or whatever you wear. So, Brother Manny, you said multiple layers, didn't you? So what if you wear multiple layers that are all exact same size? Is anybody tracking with me? What does that do? Yes. So if we have a form-fitting, what's the B word? Bodice. Bodice? If we have a form-fitting bodice, is that the undergarment? Okay. I'm learning here with everybody else. If we have a form-fitting bodice, and then we put another piece of material right over it that is also form-fitting, have we accomplished what we want with multiple layers? Maybe if we're trying to stay warm, but we're trying to conceal the body, correct? Remember I said that this may not feel like a spiritual message, more of informative. So what is the cape for on a dress? How is it supposed to be used? The cape, or the second layer, is bigger. And if I'm thinking correctly, it's baggier and it's attached at the waist to push it out. So it's attached at the top and it's attached at the bottom, but it's bigger. So when you bring the bottom up to the waist or wherever you bring it, it creates baggage. Do you understand that? Are we tracking? And so that baggage keeps it from form-fitting. I feel like I'm doing a terrible job explaining this, but do we understand? So it comes away from your body. Now, what are pleats? Is it pleats or gathers? Is that the same thing? What are pleats or gathers? What are they for? Somebody help me out. To push the fabric away. Is that right? Did someone say baggy? Create baggage. Baggage? Come on. So if you take a flat piece of material, I'm surprised that I'm the one teaching this. I just thought of that. A bunch of Amish people. You take fabric that is flat, okay? Flat against. And you pinch it together. Now, obviously, I've never done this. You pinch it together. What happens? It pushes out. And then it causes that out push to flow down. It pushes the fabric out. And then that pushed out fabric flows down and breaks the what? The form. Because that's what we're trying to do, right? We're not trying to stay within bounds by being as worldly and as immodest as we can, right? That's not what we're trying to do. We're actually trying to cover the body. We're trying to be modest. So I have recently, unfortunately, noticed a trend that is appalling. But it's where the bodice is form-fitting. Very form-fitting. But the cape is very loose, with the intention of being so far out that you can see the form-fitted bodice from the side. Anybody tracking with that? Can you believe it? Does anyone understand? Does anyone struggle to understand that? Do we understand it? Can you believe it? The intention is to show the form of the chest. God help us. Are we trying to do that, sisters? Am I going too far here? No head movement means I'm going too far. Should other men, other than your husband, know the size of your chest? Think about it. It's ungodly. It's immodest. It's carnal. It's wicked. The cape and the bodice need to be larger. Do we understand that? It's really easy to do, I think, if you want to do it. If you want to do it. You know, it's interesting because my wife said at some point, she said, I think how she said it, us men, we have little control, or at least myself, we have little control of what I wear because I have to buy my clothes. My wife tried to make a shirt for me, and sorry, honey, but the collar was down here. I think I wore it. Didn't I wear it at least once? But sisters, you have the option to do it how you want. You control the way your dress is made. You control how much fabric you use. You control the kinds. I don't, and you men wear homemade stuff as well, but for us that don't, it's a hard process to find clothes that are not ungodly, tight, whatever. But sisters, you have a great blessing in that you make your own. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. I want to talk about the neckline. It used to be that the modest dress used to have a collar. Does anybody remember that? Like the king's daughter's dresses. Anybody familiar with them? Them dresses have collars. Right? They have collars. And then the collars faded out. And the next thing was tight. No collar, but tight around the neck. Conceals, covers. And then the neckline started to get bigger. And then it started doing different designs, like maybe a square cut top. What's the point of all that? Does anybody know? Why are the necklines getting larger and larger? Is it a good direction? Does anyone think it's a good direction? I don't understand it. Unless we're trying to fit in. A carnal, unconverted sister starts doing something to look like the world and the rest follow her. And unfortunately, the ones that want to be modest are the ones with all the pressure. And maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your daughters. And say, Mommy, I'm tired of wearing this modest dress. I want to wear this slinky, tight, free feeling. God help us. We're responsible for the direction of the church. Do we believe that? We are responsible for the direction of our children. Do we take it seriously or not? For the men, muscle shirts. What is a muscle shirt? A shirt that shows your muscles. Such a brilliant observation. Thank you, brother. I didn't think anybody was going to say that. Are muscle shirts a good direction? Are shirts that show your muscles a good direction? So why is it popular to wear a shirt that stops right in the middle of your bicep? Why is it popular? Someone tell me. Because we want to show our muscles. We're like peacocks out on the farm, flaunting ourselves. Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? I marvel at what I see. Brothers, tight pants. What is a tight pant? Go ahead, let's hear it. No. I'm scared. It's a pant that shows the form of your bottom half. Okay? Did you have something you wanted to add? It's a pant that shows the form of your either front or back. Now I'll pause to say this. I know sometimes we can fluctuate in weight, and sometimes we're caught in a pair of tight pants. I'm not talking about that, although I think we should avoid that if we can. I'm talking about the desire to put on pants that are too small to show your form to everyone else. That sounds absurd for a man to do, right? But is that what we're seeing? Is there such thing as knit fabrics for men's pants? There is? Who said that? Huh? Swedish knits. Maybe that's the word I was looking for instead of Swiss dot. I'm not sure. Swedish knit. Go ahead. Okay, sorry. I'm a little confused on it, but is it tight or what is it? Clingy. There's that word again. So men, should we want clingy pants? I feel a little shameful even saying that. What about hairstyles? Is there room for some hairstyles? Spiking up the front? Whatever. Is there some room for that? No room? Men, do you love the way you look? Do you look in the mirror and you think, I look good. Maybe this is more of a single man's thing. Is that a godly thought? Is that a positive direction of thought? You'd be amazed at what that thought can lead a young man into. You'd be amazed at what that thought, I look good. Then the next thing we're wondering is if that girl is noticing. You know, we have turkeys at home. I marvel at these turkeys. We have four male turkeys. And they're wondering if these hens see them. Strutting around, doing silly things. And the ladies are off looking for insects. Are we trying to impress people, men and young men? Will we attract the right person if we're trying to impress with our looks? Have you thought of that? If you're trying to look like a stud, you're going to attract a pretty spirited girl in a long shot to tone that thing down. You get married and you waltz off into the sunset, never to be seen again. The pretty boy, feminine thing is becoming huge in the Anabaptist church. The pretty boy, feminine thing. Whatever all that is. But men that are even walking like women. It's serious. Our beards, men. Are they fashion beards? Maybe we don't like beards. Maybe we are What about the goatee? Let's talk a little bit about shoes. Are we still everybody okay? Good? We've already talked about shoes, haven't we, brothers? I still get calls. People reminding me how foolish it is to talk about Hey Dude shoes from the pulpit. It's not spiritual. But it is the trend of the day. It says way more about you than just something about your shoes. But I want to talk about shoes here. I'm not sure how to do it. But do our shoes present an issue? Are shoes a problem? Does it matter what shoes we wear? Why is it that you see Mennonite boys or Amish boys with suspenders, yada, 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 and bright tennis shoes? What is going on there? Can someone help me out? But that seems kind of crazy. So the cool spirit's trapped in there, and it can only get out where there's no restrictions, and the only place where there's no restrictions is the shoes, and so it burst out there. And you wear bright red Nikes. Is that what it is? Seems far-fetched to me. But I'm not sure what it is. I understand a little bit more the casual wafer canvas sneaker thing. I understand that a little bit more because that's what the world is wearing. That's the style of 2026. And so if you want to fit into the world, if you want some connection, if you want someone from the world to say something nice about you, then wear some of those shoes. They'll probably either be light tan or light gray. They will contrast your dress, and you will look extremely fashioned. You will look like you have money. You will look beautiful. Is it the direction that we want to go? Is that the direction that we want to go? I would like to just throw a warning out that this canvas sneaker, Hey Dude style footwear is a terrible, terrible thing. Not because of the actual shoe, but the heart that wants something that beats after the world. What's that? Soft image, explain it. Oh yes, the soft, yes. The soft, okay, that reminds me of something, soft image. The ankle sock. Can we go there? The ankle sock is that very thing. This feminine, I don't know what to say. I want to say girly. Can I say that? The ankle sock. Sisters, the slender, slippy stuff. This princess type thing. Does anyone tracking? I said this to some of the brothers the other week. Men, our shoes carry more of an image reflection than we think. Do we agree with that? If I wear suspenders, black, like right now, if I have a pair of Nike tennis shoes on that look like they're ready to storm the nearest basketball court and jump 10 feet in the air, does that fit? Does that fit the meek, humble, lowly thing that we're trying to portray? Does it fit Jesus? But it seems like we don't understand, so I asked the brothers, if you would take your shoe, whatever it is, and you would take a billboard, how big are the billboards? 90 feet? Big old full-size billboard, and it's a white billboard, and the only thing on that billboard is your shoe. What image does it reflect? Does it look like a shark that's ready to eat something? Does it look like something in a J. Crew magazine? Is it something that they sell at Abercrombie & Finch? Or is it a humble, lowly looking shoe? Are we crossing lines yet? What about our eyeglasses? In the last 6 years, has there been a shift in style of eyeglasses? What is it? I want to hear someone say it. Bigger. So let me ask you, if the world changes a style, should the church follow it? Are we all on board with that? Do you know that the world is doing this to the church and the devil is doing this to the church and he's laughing at us? He's laughing at us. Look what they're willing to do to try to be like us. We should shun the world and shun every aspect of what the world loves. Nakedness, casualness. The last thing before we open it up here is our children. Should our children dress differently than us? Is it okay for the child to wear a pair of shorts and a pair of canvas sneakers? And a J. Crew polo shirt, pink in color. Is that okay? What are we doing? What is the point of that? Is it okay to put our children in clothes that we would not feel comfortable wearing ourselves? Train them up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. We're trying to instill in our children how to look cool. What does the world think of that? So we probably didn't even touch the surface here tonight. But remember, this message is to help people with pure hearts think about what you're doing. Think about next time you're making a dress. Next time you're buying shoes. Next time you're going to buy eyeglasses or buy a pair of pants. Think about, do I have peace with this decision? Is there a small part of me that's saying, don't do that? That I'm shrugging off. The devil's here to destroy us. The devil's here to distract us. Will we allow it to happen with something so simple as the way that we dress? I'm going to open it up here now for a bit. For any comments, anything that I missed, something that you see that is ungodly, or I welcome and would appreciate some pushback on anything I said that you don't quite agree with. JD. Are the mics working or not? We'll try that. Lord, be with the mic system. Right here, JD. Ivan. Keep going, just talk a little louder.
Dress shoes. Why do I never hear you talk about those?
People are still wearing those? Again? Oh, come back through. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. So what's the idea behind these, what do you call them, elf shoes? Pointed? I don't know what to say about that. That seems very silly. It would have to be just because other people are doing it, or what? Go ahead and share a little bit on these pointed shoes.
I mean,
speak out.
It's the dress shoes that the businessmen wear. Yeah, like shiny brown or black, whatever. Most yeah. times brown, leather, pointed in the front. Yeah, it's what you would see a lot of businessmen wearing. It's very prevalent in Anabaptist